that can create feelings of being disowned. A parent embarrassed to be in public with a child. A child reminds the parent of things they do not like in their spouse. It can also come if a child was previously aborted and the parent's guilt causes them to disown the next one. Parents have goals they want to achieve and the child is in the way or a hindrance. Humiliated is verbally put down, laughed at or ridiculed, shamed, put down in front of others. Despised, when expectations are not met, when the child reminds them of someone they cannot stand or to be around, the parent is constantly irritated with them. Disrespected, being rude to or discourteous. Our attitude will affect a lot of how we as a parent will say things or act towards the child. Betrayed, broken promises, person not honest, only say things to make them look good and not the whole story, or deception. Drained emotionally, this is when a parent depends on the child for their emotional need, and that often happens when a couple doesn't connect on an emotional heart level. The parent will, I'm going to use the term, marry one of their children for their emotional needs, either one or more of their children. And parents not connecting would do this. Now the child is there to fill the parent's emotional need. It's completely backwards. Because as parents, we're to be there for our children. One example of that is a mother asking the child questions she should be asking her husband. Or when a husband is abusive and the wife looks to the child for protection, advice, and encouragement. I'm going to give you an example of a little 4-year-old girl that walked into the kitchen one day. And her mom was dealing with depression, and she looked at her little 4-year-old girl and she said, "I just need a hug from you." And that little 4-year-old girl, which is now an adult, she made the comment, she said, "I remember at 4 years old that our roles switched at that moment. It was now my responsibility as a 4-year-old girl to be there for mom instead of mom being there for me." After I heard that story, I try my utmost not to tell my children, "I need a hug from you." Instead of saying that, I will say, "I have one for you." You may think it's just terminology, but I think it does make a difference. Because one is, "I need one from you," you're getting. The other way is, "I have one for you, I'm giving it to you." And I think that can make a difference. Enjoy and find fulfillment in a vibrant emotional connection with the Lord and being emotionally intimate with your spouse. And I'm not talking sexual here. Spend time in connecting emotionally with the Lord. The Lord cares very deeply for you. Deuteronomy 32:10. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. I encourage you to read Psalm 139. I'm not going to take the time to look at it. But did you know that God is so excited about you that he can't stop thinking about you? Because in Psalm 139, it tells me that the Lord's thoughts about you are more than the grains of sand. How many grains of sand are on the face of the earth? If you wanted a little bit of help to figure that out, think about how many grains of sand are in your sandbox where the children play. Now take all the sandboxes in your neighborhood. Now take all the sandboxes across the face of the earth. then look at all the beaches along the rivers, lakes, oceans. Elmira, I'm told there's sand hills. Baden, I'm told there's sand hills, and there's probably many more sand hills around. If you go to Michigan, there's some huge sand dunes along Lake Michigan, and there's others. They tell me the bottom of the ocean is coated in sand. I'm convinced there's more grains of sand than split seconds in your life. Take all the split seconds in your life. God cannot stop thinking about you. His thoughts are more than the grains of sand. It's not just as many as the grains of sand, but it's more than that. God is excited about you. And deep within every heart, there's a longing to connect with the Lord. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Emotionally connecting with your spouse. Be totally transparent. Understand each other's deepest needs and feelings and desires. Open your hearts to your spouse and hold nothing back. You will never have to wonder or worry what your spouse is doing when he or she is alone. Like I mentioned earlier, a couple like that you cannot pull apart. The result when an individual is morally free. Number one, when the person is moral failure, cleans up the past, and remains in freedom, they will become lonely. Number two, they will want relationship or connecting emotionally with their spouse. And if you're single, find someone that you can connect with within the same gender, that you can care about each other and care about the deepest needs of your heart, and really focus on connecting with the Lord Jesus Christ on an emotional heart level, and that's important for all of us. Don't use your spouse to take that place. Don't expect your spouse to fill the need that only God can do, because your spouse will never fill that need. Their sympathy level will skyrocket. They will now focus on the needs of their spouse instead of self. And if you're not married, you can start focusing on the needs of those around you as well. And instead of focusing on themselves and gratifying their sensual desires. How to stay in moral freedom? Is it possible to live morally free? This again is in your in those red books, page 3 and part of page 4. These are steps to assist you to remain in moral freedom after the first and most important step has been taken, which is to repent before God for all the immoral sins ever committed. It is important that all moral violations are resolved. Therefore, you should try to find someone to help you, because minimizing and not being honest goes along with moral failure. However, it must be someone you can trust. And also, it's very important to find emotional healing for the emotional pain inside in order to stay free. Remember the addiction chart that I showed you. Number one, is ask the Lord to take down the walls this moral failure brought into relationships. Number two, ask the Lord to heal the damage this moral failure did to your heart. Number three, ask the Lord to restore your soul. And number four, ask the Lord to bring to your mind anything that you have not confessed that needs to be confessed. And that's important to do, because part of moral failure sins is we hide them, being in secret. Ask God to show you whatever is there and things that need to be confessed. It's not uncommon that when we pray through a list of moral failure things in my office, that people will say, "Oh, we're through now." And I'll just tell them, I said, "Well, that's great, but I'd like to lead you in a prayer." And one of the first things I do is, "Lord, is there anything that we have not confessed today that needs to be confessed?" And I'm going to tell you, it's not uncommon that the more things come up. Not every time, but it's not also not uncommon. We tend to shy away from this because he might show us something we might not want to see. For fear it makes us look bad. That focus is still on self. Number 5 is memorize Romans chapter 6 and put it into first person, and I talked about some of that earlier, making it very personal. Number 6, recognize where the temptation is coming from, the world, the flesh, or the devil, and take the appropriate steps, like we talked about earlier, to deal with it. Number 8 is be accountable to someone, and that's why those accountability questions are there on page 6 and 7. Number 9, be prayed up when entering the danger zone. Know where your danger zones are, places and or people where you are weak. Number 10, have a plan in place before the temptation comes. What you do in a fire drill is what you will do in a real fire. If you're going to think the fire drill, the fire alarm is just a false alarm and you're not going to do anything about it, someday you might be toast. So remember, to have a plan in place, that's why you do a fire drill, is because everybody knows what they're going to do and what we're supposed to do if their fire alarm goes off and if there is a fire and we can be safe. The same thing, when the temptation comes, know what your fire drill is. Know what you're going to do. Have a plan in place. Number 11, don't spend time with an immoral person or a person who wants to be involved. And we talked about what a person like that looks like. Number 12, don't listen to flattery or enticing statement. And we talked about how flattery overpowers you and makes you to do things you thought you never would. I remember having a man in my office, and he said, "I committed adultery. And I committed adultery with a person that is not my wife, or that I wasn't even attracted to. I just don't understand why I would have done such a thing. I don't know what's wrong. Like, what's wrong with me?" We started exploring a few different things. And when we looked at flattery, he said, "That's it. That's it." He said, "I had no idea." But he goes, "That's exactly what she did. I was hurting. And what she did, she had ulterior motives. But what she did is she would flatter me, and because of my pain inside, I ended up," and I explained this to him, how the pain